Please turn to your order of worship as we pray our call to worship responsively. We do not live by bread alone, but by the Word who became flesh and dwells among us. Giver of life, God of love and provision, impart thoughtfulness, thankfulness, so we might consider well those things that sustain us, and so we might know well that we are not self-sustained. We are mere selves, God, sustained, kept, and continued by your people around us, by your world above and about and within us. May this further enliven us, God, as Christ become bread, in spirit us to offer in supply for others, to sacrifice as supply for others, so that we give of that life our lives, this love, your love, given to us. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord is just and kind. The Lord is near to those who call, and so we do. Let us confess our sins against God and one another. God, you have called us to live lives worthy of the calling to which we have been called. But we confess to you and each other that we have not always spoken the truth in love. We have not always made every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Forgive us, and by your grace, help us to grow in every way into him who is our head, Jesus Christ. Amen. To you, God, we have come, confessing that we can be fearful and vengeful, admitting that we have been neglectful and hurtful. And we admit also that there is redemption. We believe in our own resurrected life, for we have been forgiven by you. And we accept this, and we will practice it. Participating in your divine forgiveness, God, we forgive one another, and we forgive ourselves. Amen. Please stand as you are able to sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 239 in your hymnal. can be seated. Good morning, and welcome to Sunday worship in the Memorial Church at Harvard University. We're blessed this morning by the students who have joined us, and we're glad as well for the blessing and presence of our regular worshiping community. Today is the final of our 2015 summer services. Academic year services begin on August 30th, Freshman Sunday, and all are welcome then. Information can be found on the Memorial Church website, which is where you can find also the sermons and services recorded this summer. We've been host this summer to a brilliant series of guest preachers, and today is a continuation of that, as we welcome Minister and Sergeant Kevin Bryant. Minister Bryant is the Security Services Coordinator and Diversity Community Liaison for Harvard Police, the Minister of Convalescence, Visitation, and Church Safety at Myrtle Baptist Church, and an affiliated minister in this Memorial Church. Minister Bryant, we're glad for your presence this morning and grateful for this occasion to learn from you and to worship with you. And let's give gratitude also to the ushers and readers, to our sexton and staff for the work that stages and supports and makes possible in many ways this service of worship. The body of Christ is a collaborative project, a communal process, and it's in that spirit of community that all are welcome to refreshments in the memorial room following this morning's service. You'll find as well in that room to your right a memory book dedicated to Nancy Granert, our treasured director of finance and organist in residence who is soon to retire. Should you have a memory or wish you'd like to share, please feel free to offer it as a note of blessing to Nancy. And it's with a sense of blessing again that I offer gratitude and greeting and welcome to all of you. And I'll invite you in a moment to greet and to welcome one another. Our human exchanges are often guarded, sometimes stiff and protective, sometimes harsh and aggressive, and to offer a greeting of peace, then, is a simple but subversive act, a sacred and a holy act. To exchange peace is to imagine the world anew, more boldly perhaps, and even if momentarily. To exchange peace is to inhabit that world we imagine. In this boldness, and as you're able, please stand and share a greeting of peace. You can be seated. With our monetary offerings, we continue in the bold sharing that binds us together, builds us into community. The ushers will begin the collection at the back of the church. As our voices and embraces moments ago, may it be that this act too, these offerings too become the materials of peace. Amen.
This morning's psalm, number 40, is found on page 476 in your pew Bible. We will be reading responsively by whole verse, verses 1 through 11. Page 476, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever.
Good morning. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being bound in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, beginning at the 46th verse. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Here ends the lesson.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, show us your love and mercy. In you, Lord, is our hope. I waited patiently for the Lord, we've heard the psalmist say, and the Lord heard my cry. Help us to hear, God, in this passage, something more than a sure estimation of your strength, a certain affirmation of your power. Help us to hear a bare confession of need, for you to listen to the psalmist cry, God, means, of course, that the psalmist had been crying from a desolate pit, from a miry bog. Teach us then that patience isn't silence, and it need not seem or sound decorous or dignified. Lord, in your mercy, listening and liberating God, in our reading from the Gospel of Mark as well, there is a suggestion that faith is sometimes less like reserve, confident resolve, and more like defiant cries, urgent and ardent and persistent shouting. Surrounded as we are by the gates of this yard, situated as we are in the culture of this university, emphasizing as it does a kind of tireless ambition, unflagging and steadfast success. Help us, God, to consider steadfast love. Teach us to hear the psalmist cry. And when the complexities of this culture or those of our own conditionings sternly order quiet, as did the many people around Jesus, help us, God, to consider the response. Teach us to hear the blind man shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And may this move us toward the permission and the compassion, toward the boldness and the gentleness necessary to undress our own vulnerabilities, to uncover our own sensitivities and uncertainties, to make bare our own needs, Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, in your mercy. And do more than to show us mercy, God. Show us the way to mercy, teaching us to have mercy on us. For this is the abiding empathy, the material affinity of your incarnation. You've become flesh, God, so that we might also. Christ has been found in human form, as Philippians tells us. And in Christ, we find a reformed humanity, our own restored humanity. Through Christ, we realize that humility creates and conditions our humanness. And so we might learn from the human life of the humbled God. Lord, in your mercy. And we're in need of your help, God, to resist both the attractiveness of exceptionalism and the easiness of self-criticism. It's arrogant, surely, to believe that ours is the perspective with most value. But it seems equally errant, God, to believe that ours is a perspective without value. Neither of these is the way of humility, and so neither is the way to humanity. And we ask to be like Christ, God. Make us human. Amen. Let us now pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Please stand as you are able to sing the sermonic hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, number 314 in your hymnal.
Thank you. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the land of the living. A miracle has just happened this morning. Before you woke up and opened your eyes, God whispered in your ears and gave you another day to live as he would live. Can we give God a hand, please? Come on. I know you can do better than that. God has done something in your life, each and every one of you. It's always good to give God some praise. Please be seated. I bring you greetings from Myrtle Baptist Church, the church where love abides in Newton, Massachusetts. My senior pastor is Reverend Brandis Thomas Crowley. I love him so. And to Professor Jonathan Walton and Reverend Lucy Forster Smith, thank you for your love and kindness. And to my mother, I love you. Mark Twain said that kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. So they came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the side of the road. Because of his blindness, Bartimaeus was prevented from finding and performing a job in order to earn a living. In those days, there were no programs, no social security or charitable institutions that could help him. Blind Bartimaeus was totally dependent upon the sympathy and generosity of others in order to survive. He survived by sitting by the side of the road, begging. His condition caused him to beg every day, and for someone to have compassion and pity on him and put some change in his hand. Bartimaeus lived a life of wretched poverty. And there were no paved streets or highways with lights. Everyone walked, traveled by donkey or camel. There were no roadside rest stops for people or animals. And sometimes caravans of merchants and pack animals would pass by. It was extremely hot. At times, the temperature was well over 100 degrees. Think about it. Sitting on the side of the road, begging. The heat, the stench, the dust and dirt made this ugly, uncomfortable, and an unbearable place to be. Let me put it to you this way. You ever been driving your car down the highway? You're moving along just fine, enjoying life. The traffic's moving at a good pace. Maybe you got your tunes on, you're singing. It's a bright, sunny day. Life is good. All of a sudden, that check engine light comes on, the car starts acting sluggish, and you have to pull over to the side of the road. Your car was broken down. You've called AAA, and now you have to sit and wait on the side of the road. Every time a truck or car passes you by, it shakes the vehicle. And while you're sitting on the side of the road, time passes and frustration begins to build because the other motorists are paying you no mind. They're moving on with their life. You know what they're thinking as they drive by. I know what I'm thinking when I drive by when I see a car broken down on the road. I'm glad that's not me. As time passes, you start thinking about things, and all of a sudden, discouragement and disappointment show up. And as more time passes by, hopelessness and despair soon follow. You thought you were doing everything right. Things were fantastic between you and your spouse or your partner, and then out of nowhere, your relationship, your marriage falls apart, and you find yourself sitting on the side of the road. You exercise, you eat the right foods, you took your vitamins, You go to the doctor for routine checkup, only to learn that you are ill, and now you find yourself sitting on the side of the road. You had plans to do so many things with your life, but you find yourself sitting by the side of the road, feeling frustrated, disappointless, hopeless, and lonely, just like Bartimaeus. Loneliness isn't just about being alone. It's about not feeling connected. You see, Bartimaeus had been shunned by society most of his life. When you're shunned by people, it creates an absence that's difficult to describe, because there is nothing but silence. People refuse to speak to you. They refuse to acknowledge your presence, refuse to treat you as though you matter, because you are less than. You become invisible. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road when he heard a sound, a commotion. He heard the crowds pass by, and he heard the excited voices of the people. You know, sometimes you can't follow Jesus Christ and be silent. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And several people in the crowd ordered him to be quiet. And Bartimaeus realizes that this is the chance of a lifetime. And so he seizes the moment. He wants to make sure that Jesus doesn't pass him by. So what does Bartimaeus do? I'm glad you asked. He cries out more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus could not see. His eyes did not work. He was blind, but he was not spiritually blind. His spirit saw Jesus in a way that people with sight could not see. And that's why he used the title, Son of David. That title was reserved for only one person in the entire world, the Messiah. So when Bartimaeus called Jesus the Son of David, the whole crowd knew what he was saying. Bartimaeus was saying, "I believe this is the one we've all been waiting for, the Savior of the world and the deliverer of God's people." Bartimaeus was smart enough to know that Jesus could give him his sight. When Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry, he turned and saw Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road. You know, Bartimaeus was blind. He didn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. Sometimes when you find yourself sitting by the side of the road, it might be difficult for you to see Jesus, but Jesus has got his eyes on you. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." Here are the very same people that told him to be quiet, that shunned and ignored him most of his life. And now they see that Bartimaeus has got the attention of Jesus, and that Jesus has commanded him to come to him. They now know that Bartimaeus is going to be blessed. He's going to have a one-on-one audience with the Lord. All of a sudden, people want to help him up, fix his raggedy clothes, dust him off, push him up there. You know, it's amazing how people will put you down, leave you alone, and walk out and turn their back on you when things seem to be dark. But when God starts putting a blessing in your life, next thing you know, they're right there, willing to help you out, do anything for you. So, throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. And when Jesus called Bartimaeus, it was a special moment. Bartimaeus threw his cloak off, and because this cloak was the only personal possession this blind man could call his own. He probably sat on it while he begged. He used it to wrap up against the weather, and it might have been his blanket at night. It was a tangible source of security, and at the same time, it was a constant reminder of his blindness and his situation. And by throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus was saying, I have faith in Jesus. I'm trusting in his ability to change my circumstances. And I'm turning my back on my old lifestyle. As you might say, Bartimaeus had a new attitude. I'm sure Bartimaeus wanted money, security, a family, some friends, a home, a job, and 1,000 other things. But he knew his real need was his sight. And because Bartimaeus understood and appreciated his real need, he was willing to do whatever it took to meet that need. He risked his reputation and maybe even his childhood to meet Jesus face to face. And he was convinced that Jesus was the answer to his needs. And then Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. And Jesus did something very interesting. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't touch him. He didn't do anything. He didn't put anything on his eyes. He didn't tell Bartimaeus to do anything. Jesus just looked at him and said, go, your faith has freed you. And immediately Bartimaeus could see again. What Jesus had simply given Bartimaeus permission for his faith to become the power that set him free. Bartimaeus' cry of faith from the depths of his blindness liberated him from his affliction. Bartimaeus appeared to be weak, but by his faith in Jesus Christ, he's had the power of freedom in his hands. And Jesus recognized that power in Bartimaeus' cry of faith and enabled that faith to get into action. And he could see again. See, Jesus just didn't give Bartimaeus what he needed. He gave him so much more. Jesus does not just meet your needs. He exceeds your needs. And Bartimaeus' life wasn't changed just because he had his eyes to see, but even more so because he had faith. The last thing we're told about Bartimaeus is he was following Jesus down the road. We've not known humility until we've stared at our own limitations in the face. And we need to acknowledge that we have problems or circumstances in our life that are so bleak that we also need to shout out like Bartimaeus and just say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. This is the moment that marks the beginning of salvation, the moment when we realize our own blindness, our own desperate condition, our own inability to save ourselves, the moment we realize that we too need a Savior. My brothers and sisters, right here, right now, Jesus is passing through. Will you sit by the side of the road and do nothing and simply let him pass you by? Or will you humble yourselves, call out, and ask Jesus Christ for help? Bless you all.
Please stand as you are able to sing the closing hymn, To God Be the Glory, number 28 in your hymnal, number 28.
Thank you.
Remember,